Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
Hey-o.
Okay. You always shock me with your responses. I don't know what's going on.
I think I'm going to go out with a deeper voice today. I should do the entire episode like this.
As opposed to your puberty voice that just came on a couple minutes ago?
Leave me alone.
I love it. Man, last couple of days of October here, I'm sure by the time you guys are listening to this, there's maybe a day or two before Halloween, or maybe you're listening to it on Halloween. But yeah, I am looking forward to diving into the reason we're here, and that is Saw 3. Now, before we dive into that, I want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on the podcast, and just remember to subscribe. It's totally free. You can do that over at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, YouTube, anywhere that you find your podcast, you can download that button and make sure you subscribe. That'll make sure it shows up every time we upload a new episode. We're also up on YouTube as well. Of course, that's a great place to listen to us. And then you can follow us at Back in Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram, we're on Facebook. And then, of course, JD's blog over at backintimepod.com. But let's get to the reason we're here, man. Saw 3, what is your first memories, JD, of watching Saw 3?
It's interesting that we're sort of doing Saw 3 this year. And for those of you that are been listening for the entirety of our show, and those of you that are new, every Halloween we do a Saw movie. So check out Saw 1 in our archives, Saw 2 in our archives, and now Saw 3 coming soon.
That was awesome.
Well, it's becoming our thing, I guess, if you will, that we always end October with a Saw movie. And I want to say traditionally the first two episodes we had Jesse as a guest.
We sure did.
I think he bailed on us last year.
Yeah, I think we planned him and then he had the bail.
Yeah, that's my little brother for you.
Yeah.
So I saw three. It's in an interesting place. And I remember when it came out and sort of being on the fence about whether I wanted to invest my time in the franchise or sort of recuse myself from the franchise, because there's always that breaking point in a mammoth franchise like this where you either have to invest yourself to see every single damn movie or you say, like, enough is enough. I've had it with these mother effing snakes on this mother effing plane, and you stop watching. And this was, I want to say it was Saw 4 or 5 that I officially gave up, but this was the first time that I was kind of like flirting with the idea that I didn't care about the franchise anymore, because I think the first movie was amazing. I think the second movie did a fantastic job of creating a unique story, and then I was worried where the third movie would go.
Okay. Okay, I think that's valid. I will say I did not give up that quickly. But yeah, when they got to about Saw 5, and I believe it was the one that they did in 3D, about halfway through the movie, I was like, yeah, I think I'm out. And then they put out more, and I still went and saw them. So yeah, I'm a completionist. I will go see everything. I got to see it through. Thank God I never got in the Sharknado. That'd be brutal. Now, was this something you remember seeing in theaters? Because first weekend I was there.
This was 2006?
Yep. I believe so. I can fact check that.
I want to say, yes, I saw this in theaters. But I wasn't an opening weekend thing. I think this was the last Saw movie that I saw in theaters.
Okay. It's the last Saw that you saw.
Last Saw that I saw.
Let's go ahead and Saw the trailer. So if you are by YouTube, or you can pull it up on the app here, just type in our channel, Back in Time Podcast. You will find the latest episode uploaded. Should be the Saw 3 trailer. And I will give a countdown, and we'll go ahead and watch this thing together here. So, JD, are you ready?
I'm on the edge of my seat. Does that count as being ready?
Are your pants on?
Yes. Okay, actually, they pants. Are.
Then you're ready.
Well, I have shorts. Does that count?
Yeah, shorts, pants? Shorts, whatever.
Daisy Dukes. Shorts. I'm not you.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, click. Yeah, JD, start us off. What'd you think of the trailer?
So in terms of this being an official trailer, I think it leaves a lot to the imagination, which I'm guessing is what they were going for. They want to reel us in. They want to fish us. They want to hook us on that shit's going to get real wild and real weird. And to that extent, they succeed. We know nothing about the story. We know nothing about who's in it. We know absolutely nothing other than it's a Saw movie. So who gives a fuck? Go see it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in. New traps, new characters. Like, what else do we need? Let's keep it simple here, people. Rinse, lather, repeat. Just churn them out every year, baby. Cash cow. I will say one thing. I was a little thrown off that there's part of a Bible verse in there. Did you catch that? It said, "I will judge you," Ezekiel 21:33-37.
Yeah, I did catch that Bible verse, which I thought a little odd because I want to say up till now they haven't really treaded those waters yet to mm-hmm. include that level of biblical prophecy within the serial killer mantra. I mean, the movie Seven is based solely on the seven deadly sins as laid out, and Saw hasn't touched that yet.
No, I don't think they do at any point. Did my voice just crack too?
Yeah, you got a little.
I'm catching on with you. All right. Well, let's dive into some of the box office numbers. I love it. I think I'm in. Whatever they're doing, I'm digging it. So let's go ahead and break down the box office here and see how they did in theaters. Is that how you say it?
Theaters.
There you go. I like your way better. So the movie was released October 27th, 2006. Hard to believe it's already 13 years old. Pretty wide release here, 3,100 screens. And it would open number one movie at the box office that week, 44.5 big ones, man. It would stay in theaters for about 7 weeks. We'll dive into the other weeks here. But in week two, which is the first part of November, they would repeat with a pretty strong week. $18.7 million that week, was number four that week at the box office, so holding pretty steady. We're 10 days in, JD, $63 million domestically. That's a bunch of blumpkins right there. What do you think?
Yeah, that's going to buy you the biggest blumpkin on the farm. I'm not surprised. I love that when you compare it's week one versus week two, because it obviously charged out of the gate, but who wants to see a horror movie after Halloween?
Right.
Obviously $18 million worth, but to drop half your profits like that at the snap of a finger, I wonder why they waited so long to release it. I'm sure you'll get into the competition that week, and then maybe we'll talk about what else was coming out in October that year. But shit, I think Slither came out that year.
Possibly. I will tell you this. I think you'll be a little surprised with the two movies that it beat out. It's a pretty good competition here. Now, do you think there's any Schoolyard effect in play here?
I gotta say no. I feel like the Saw fans came out opening weekend. Those that were interested saw week two, and I feel like it had diminishing returns after that.
Okay, you're right on track. So 44, next week 18, week three drops down to the 5 spot, brings in another 8.7. Week four, it holds steady at number 9, and then by the end of November, it is pretty much out of theaters. At that point, as it drops all the way to the 15 spot. Domestically, though, the film did bring in $80,238,724. And then internationally, did even better, $84,635,551, which brought our worldwide total to $164,874,275. What do you think about the final box office numbers there?
And that, what budget was that again against?
Let me check it out. Normally it tells me the budget, but good old Box Office Mojo had to go sell out to IMDb, so they have now changed their entire layout. So while I'm doing that, let me ask you this. Do you think the movie outperformed either of the first two?
Ooh, that's an interesting question, and I'm going to answer it as logically as I can, because I think the first movie was a sleeper. I think the second, and it caught people by surprise, and the sequel came out and really laid the groundwork. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is sort of the champion in there because of the way that number one was a whisper, number two was a shout, and number three in a franchise tends to perform well.
Okay. So you would be correct. So $10 million budget, $164 million return. Saw 2 brought in a worldwide total of $152 million. And the original brought in a measly $103
million. Yeah, measly.
So, yeah, I know. I'm being sarcastic. But yeah, obviously the third movie outdid them all. So of course they're going, how quickly can we get out number 4? Holy crap, people are still watching this thing. I can see why they kept going. I mean, man, 16 times your budget in return. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's so epic.
Yeah, somebody raked in the Blumpkins on that one. Now, let's talk about the week the movie came out. So October 27th, 2006. Of course, Saw was number 1, Saw 3. The number 2 movie that weekend, The Departed, which was only in week number 4. And then the third movie was The Prestige, which was in week 2. 4, Flags of Our Fathers. 5, Open Season, animated movie. 6, Man of the Year, the late, great Robin Williams. 7, Flicka. Number 8, Grudge 2, which was only in week 3, already dropping down the list. Number 9, Marie Antoinette. And number 10, Running with Scissors. JD, any thoughts on the top 10? Any standouts for you?
Yeah, you're right. It is a competitive list for sure. The Grudge 2, which I remember hating thoroughly. Hopefully we will never, ever cover it on the podcast.
Yeah, not a fan.
Running with Scissors was actually kind of a cool off Wes Anderson type movie. It's sitting on my shelf. That was a fun movie. I can't believe it came in as high as it did. I number 10 against stiff competition, but you know, The Departed in week 4. I didn't see The Departed in theaters. I don't think I saw The Departed till like 2008 or 9. And I caught it on like TBS or some shit. And yeah, that movie was, it's a good movie, but it was way overrated. Like people walked into the theaters and they started masturbating and they're like, this is awesome. This is all, come look. And then you realize it's just a bunch of fanboys just spanking their meat.
coming in hot with that take. Jeez. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, stand out for me. I actually really love the movie The Prestige. I will watch that probably once a year, once every other year. And The Departed, I haven't watched that since it was in theaters, but I actually really like The Departed as well. Man of the Year, Robin Williams was starting to slip at that point. Poor guy. But yeah, Grudge 2, not for me. Not a fan. And I don't like war movies, so would not go see Flags of Our Fathers. Nothing against them, just not my cup of tea.
I really do like The Prestige. That's Christopher Nolan, right?
Yep, sure is.
And it's such a unique movie for him at such a unique time with Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman.
Great cast.
Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Jo. I love it. I believe she's in that. I know for sure Nolan, obviously, for sure, the other two that you mentioned. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Scarlett Jo is the third lead in that movie, is like the helper.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. Yeah, she is.
Because I remember her as Aunt, but maybe that's just a separate conversation that we need to have.
Also, Michael Caine. Please give me your Michael Caine.
It's the prestige. The first step of the prestige.
I want to go watch it just to listen to his voice now.
That's a perfect Michael Caine. Like, I can call his bank and be like, "All right, I'm Michael Caine." And they'd be like, "Oh, Mr. Caine, what can I do for you?" And I'd be like, "Transfer all your money to this account."
When you do that voice, does he just not move his tongue at all? Is that the key to it?
It's a mixture of not moving your tongue and not moving your lips. It's almost like you're doing this like ventriloquist thing. Like somebody's got their hand up his ass and he's just like, "Let's just go do this."
I'm sorry to clap in the mic. Oh, God. The hand in his ass. Oh, gosh. That's great. Let's talk about the critic response. You got to imagine that they crapped all over the film. Critics typically do not like horror movies, especially sequels of horror movies. But JD, I will let you try to figure out this puzzle. How do you think the critics responded to Saw 3?
I think you hit it right on the head. Critics traditionally don't like horror movies. At least back in this time, I think critics are much more receptive to horror movies in modern cinema. Again, with The Lighthouse coming out, people are already freaking out and losing their stuff about how good it's supposed to be. Saw 3, not comparable. I feel like the critics came in with their pants, you know, and their chastity belts on and ready to poop on it. And I feel like they did. And I feel like rightfully so, they probably admired the overall story arc that was created, but definitely did not appreciate the torture porn elements that were sort of ingrained into what the Saw franchise is. So I have a number in my head, and that number is 32.
You are darn close. 29.
Damn it. So, when's the last time I hit it on the head? It's been a while. It's
been a little while, yeah.
Shit.
I will say audience score, though, 71%. So the audience loved it, and that's the most important thing, of course. Now, if you go into our archives, I'll give you some of our older Saw breakdowns here. So Saw 2 was a 37%, and then only 59% on the audience side. And then the first Saw, the original, only 49%, which I thought was crazy at the time. But the audience score spoke pretty loudly, 84% with that one. So actually Saw 3 jumped above Saw 2. So that gets me excited. I do, from my memory, and I have not watched Saw 3 in a hot minute, I do think this is a better film than Saw 2. I do feel like Saw 2 kind of got rushed out, and then Saw 3, they're like, "Oh, we got a better idea. These traps are way cooler." So...
yeah, but and again, I haven't seen this in a hot minute, as 16-year-old prepubescent Kyle is now tending to say.
Don't make fun of me.
I remember thinking when I first saw this movie that it it's more in line to the overall swoop of the main story arc, but okay. I still remember liking the twist of the second one better.
Okay. Well, we will put that to test here in just a couple of days. So again, thank you guys for listening to the breakdown here of the original trailer for Saw 3. We'll be back in a couple of days with the full review. In the meantime, check out our archives. Go back in, watch Saw 2, then listen to us review it. Do the same thing with the original. Let's get into the mood, people. Check them out. Everything is in our archives for you to listen to. And then, of course, follow us on social media and then subscribe to the podcast. Drop us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. For now, we will jump back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and we will talk to you guys in a couple days. See ya!
Imagine the movie Saw, but at like a fast food restaurant where they're like manipulating your order, and maybe you'll get like a burger made out of like rancid catfish.
So Wendy's, cool.